Welcome to the Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Hey, we're going to talk about fourth quarter today. So everybody knows, whoever has been reselling for any bit of time knows what Q4 does to our sales. So I don't know about you. I've I'm recording this the same week I'm going to release it, which is new to me. And the reason for that is because I've been busy with Q4, just like probably many of you have. And I'm going to tell you, I have broken records this Q4. Thank God, because the summer, as you know, was very, very difficult for many of us, at least part of the time, because we weren't selling every day. We were selling every day, but probably certainly not as much as normal. And it was getting a little scary for at least it was for me. So that being said, I've also had some very good days in the pandemic, but this Q4 has broken records. I mean, I have killed it, and I hope you have too. But I'm going to tell you how I did that. And I think the reason why I think it's important we talk about this now, and I know I probably should have done this before, is that, you know, your Q4, you got to plan for. You got to do things that you wouldn't normally do, or certainly not to the level you would normally do it, because Q4 is when most of retailers become profitable. And so anyway, so let's talk about what I'm doing, and maybe you can implement this in your own reselling business. So let's start with the first. Now, I know we always talk about listing on multiple platforms. You know, it's going to be much more difficult to do what I'm saying to do on all the platforms. So what I'm going to go through is what I've done on eBay primarily. Now, if you can do this, if you're a Poshmark, a Mercari seller, or a Grailed seller, you can do that still, or do this, what I'm about to tell you. But it is not nearly as easy. So so the first thing I want you to do is to look at if you're running sales. So there's different types of sales you could do. I mean, the obvious one is just to drop your prices, which I wouldn't suggest you do, because that's a lot of work. But you can go into eBay and search out how to run a sale. And I think you should do that. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it here, because it's not conducive to doing that. But I'm just going to say, go on Google, very simple, or go into eBay itself, into the help area, and look for the instructions on how to run a sale. Now, what I want you to do here is that you're going to run a simple 10% sale. And I think anything under 10%, you're probably not going to get as much attention. Now, once you run a sale, and especially if you've made a few sales on the sale that you're running, eBay is going to naturally direct traffic to you. So normally I would get about 6 million impressions a month. And this last sale I ran, I had 8 million impressions. So I went from, or up 2 million impressions for the month. And that's a lot of people. What's really, really nice about this is that it reflected in sales. Certainly my average sale price went down, but not that much. You would think that it went down. I'm still making about $1,380 an item. And I sold, you know, probably 15% more this last month than the month prior. Maybe not quite, maybe 10% more. But at a higher sales cost as well. Or sale price. So that, I mean, that's phenomenal. And I think that it's now is the time to really start running those sales, because you know, you missed Black Friday, you missed Cyber Monday, but that doesn't mean that people are not spending money to buy gifts. And so, especially if you have new items, but run those sales, and I would say minimum of 10%. So there's a markdown sale, which is basically you run it for a period of time, and you could specify right in eBay the time period to do that, and a percentage off. But I would suggest you run a sale just for through the weekend. So you're going to start it on Thursday night, and you can run it through Sunday morning, or really Sunday, not all of Sunday, and then you're going to do it every week. Right. So you're just going to basically copy and paste your sale every week, and you can do that on the weekends. That's usually when, at least that's for me, it's when I sell the most, is usually Friday to Sunday. Matter of fact, sometimes I come in on a Sunday to do my shipping because the weekends get so busy that I don't want to come in Monday morning to a massive amount of mailing. So I do it all on Sunday up until football starts. And then I go home and I watch football for Sunday, but it really cuts down on the amount of shipping I need to do. Now this last Black Friday was a little different, is that I went to Florida. I was going to look for a house. I think I've maybe mentioned that on this podcast that I'm going to be moving to Florida, moving the business to Florida as well. And found a place, and so I'm going to be going there. It's going to being built, so it's going to be a while. So stick with me, and maybe we'll do a special episode to the warehouse that I'm building, in addition to the house. Anyway, so I was away, so this time I did not do my shipping until I got back, and I just had a massive amount. Matter of fact, when I came in on Tuesday, that would be yesterday, I basically shipped all day, and it's the first time I've ever done that. I didn't do any listing. I didn't do any answering emails, nothing. I just did shipping, and it was a nightmare. Matter of fact, I had to make two trips to the post office, and I barely made it the second trip. And I'm hoping that some of you had the same experience, but, so run your sales. So I'm going to run a sale again, 10%, on Thursday. So that'll be tomorrow. Today's Wednesday. Yeah. Today's Wednesday. So tomorrow, I will, run another sale in the evening, running through Sunday, and then just repeat it every week until Christmas is over. And then at the end of the year, I might even run a big sale to kind of blow out some inventory I couldn't get rid of. Now, if like me, you sell multiple different types of products, during the holiday season, I don't like to hold toys. So I buy toys every, Christmas time in order to sell, more, cause, people buy less used clothes during this time. I'm not going to do that next year, actually. And we could talk about that maybe in a different episode, but, I find that, that if I run those sales and then I run a blowout sale at the end of the year just to try to get rid of inventory, because toys, I'm not going to carry any of them, so I'm going to really push them this year. But toys have a tendency to go out of style unless you're getting some unique vintage toys. But if they go out of style, you don't want to be caught with something from year over year. And so some people will buy closeouts at the end of the year. So I run a deep discount sale. Matter of fact, I try to get rid of them just even if I can get my spend out of it, I'll do that. And so you should do kind of something similar if you're in a similar situation. Okay. So you're running a sale every week. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to double down on making sure that you put the thank you cards in every sale you make, and then you're going to give somebody, a repeat customer, 10% discount every time. You got to do that. Don't hesitate and not follow up with that, because what's going to happen is that the people buy something from you if they like, especially they see the discount and it's buying season. I mean, this is the prime opportunity to make multiple sales. Okay. So now a new thing I've been doing, I think I told you about Shopify and how it connects to Instagram, and I'm kind of rethinking that. I still think the Instagram Facebook route is the thing to go with long term, but, it's very time consuming. But I shut down the Shopify store and I reopened it in Wix, and Wix has a plugin that will connect directly to, eBay so that you're basically, pushing people back into your eBay store so they could see all your inventory. And it's a plugin that works pretty well. It integrates. I'm having a little bit of an issue with it right now, but it's going to be fixed, within this week for sure. But, so my card says to go back to my shop for a 10% discount. They come back to my shop and, they see all my stuff and it just sells it through eBay. Now, the nice thing also about doing it this way versus going directly through Shopify is that, eBay's not going to come back to me and say, you're taking people away from the platform. They haven't done that before. And I don't think there's a real danger of that happening, but, just in case, I guess. But there are some integrations between Wix, my Wix site and Instagram that I'm going to exploit at one point. I just haven't done that yet. I was doing it with, like I said, with Shopify, and it just didn't seem to work very well. All right. And mind you, selling on Instagram is different than selling on eBay. You have to do a lot of social interaction with buyers, and you have to actually physically say it's for sale. It's a little bit, it's not just like plugging in here, it goes to a store, because Facebook stores has not really taken off, which is surprising, given that Facebook Marketplace has taken off. Now, I don't like selling on Facebook Marketplace unless I sell large quantity items or something that I just, you know, I don't want to move it because it's too big. But I deal with clothes mostly, that doesn't really happen too often. But it does happen. And then occasionally somebody will say, hey, can you sell this barbecue for me or whatever? I'm making that up, but something large, and I'm not going to ship it. So I do Facebook Marketplace there. But Facebook Marketplace is a time waster, in my opinion. 9 times out of 10, you're getting like, you know, 20, 30 people message you saying, is it still available? Is it still available? Or you get nothing. Or they say they want to buy it and then they never show up, or, and they ghost you. Which is why I think that the Facebook stores, which is supposed to be traditional e-commerce, hasn't taken off. I think there is kind of a perception issue with sellers. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just haven't seen it take off. I think there's an opportunity there, and certainly on Instagram, I think there's an opportunity because you could start basically sending people all sorts of information about some of the stuff you're selling. So anyway. I haven't really taken really advantage of that. And I'm really kind of, I'm waiting. It probably is right now is probably the right time to do it, but I'm just not going to do it until probably after the first of the year. So, the volume of people who see Instagram stories and Instagram posts and, through hashtags, is even larger than, it is, with eBay traffic. So I think that there's definitely something to that. I just haven't really figured out how to exploit that yet. I know that certain resellers, and if you're a reseller that has, please reach out and let me know what you're doing, because I would love to hear from you. Okay. So the next thing is to be really active on Poshmark and Mercari, specifically on sending out offers. I mean, eBay, it's kind of easy because there's you basically can select a whole bunch of them and then say, drop it by 5% and then send out massive amounts of offers. And that's great. And you need to do that. But, it's a little bit more of a interactive thing within Poshmark and Mercari, because you have to select something individually and then basically make an offer. Now, the danger of that, of course, is what I told you before, is that when you drop your price, it has a tendency not to go back up. It's really kind of strange. It's not like one of these things where eBay, you give somebody an offer and you can't back off of that offer. Like on Poshmark, once you make an offer and then let's say you want to sell it on eBay, it sells on eBay. Sometimes Poshmark, and I'm not sure exactly what their rule is, but they won't let you basically delete it. They basically say you have an active offer on this, and that's kind of dangerous a little bit, because if somebody then goes in and says, I want to buy it, and then it was already sold on eBay, then you get yourself in a little bit of trouble. I've gotten a way around that, and I'll tell you about that in a second. On Mercari, of course, what happens is you drop the price, and then that becomes the de facto price for everybody. I'm not sure exactly how to control that or if there's a way to control that. But I find that when I do that, I end up getting myself in a little bit of trouble with pricing. Sometimes I'll get something where they'll make an offer. It's $18. And I'm like, wait, wasn't this the price 26 2 days ago? And that happens all the time on Mercari. And so normally I don't make offers on Mercari. I used to, but I don't anymore, because I seem to always, it's massive amounts of downward pressure on price. Okay, on Poshmark, what I do?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step-by-step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
When I make an offer and that sells on eBay or Mercari or someplace else, what I'll do is I'll then go in and edit the text on the title to say sold. And I, as a matter of fact, I delete the title completely. And it's, the title now is sold. So now if somebody goes in there and they try to buy it, you know, I mean, they, you know, you at least have some kind of way of saying, listen, you know, it said sold on it. You should have looked at that. But that's really the only thing I don't really like about doing that. So I don't do a lot of offers on Poshmark or Mercari, or Grailed even, because it's more individualized, but during Q4, you need to, if you want to boost sales. Okay. And the next thing I do is I go through old listings and I delete them. I basically end them and then I resubmit them. Now I'm using List Perfectly, so it's very easy, right? I might tweak a few things and then I'll repost it. And that looks like a fresh listing that way. And when you do that, when you refresh your listings, you will start to see uptick in sales. And that's in all platforms because it goes to the top of the list essentially. Now I'm going to probably start doing that more often because I think that really, really does work. It does help if you make a change either in the title or inside the text of the listing. So it looks different. Or if you wait a day or so after you repost, I don't usually though, I personally don't do that, but, I make a few changes and then I repost it. It comes out as a fresh listing. As a matter of fact, I think if you have trouble, if we have a second wave or a third wave or whatever wave it is, of COVID, you might want to actually start just going through and reposting some of the old inventory you have. Okay. So do the reposting. It works. It definitely works. You can even sometimes get a better price on it because it looks like it's been there for a shorter period of time. And if you have new pictures, nobody will know the difference. It'll look brand new to everybody, including eBay. So you do that. And in fact, you should probably do that on a regular basis with 5 to 10 listings, probably 5 listings a day. And so you're listing your 20 a day or 30 a day or whatever you want to do and then just add 5 into that as reposting. And you'll see some uptick on some of that, on some of those old items. So the next thing I do is, I pick a new marketplace, and I add items in that. And that's more of an experiment to see whether those marketplaces are any good or not. So I just started doing Depop and, you know, with vintage stuff, and I get a fairly, you know, obviously I buy used clothes, so there's quite a bit of vintage clothes. So vintage is really kind of one of these things where it, officially vintage is 20 years old, and you'd be surprised, especially in clothing, how easy it is to find for clothes that are about 20 years old. And it's still in good shape too. You know, obviously don't sell junk. And so I really, really, like, trying new marketplaces. Now I don't know how it's doing. I haven't made one sale in Depop yet, so don't ask me how to do it. And I don't know whether I'll stick with it, but you know, give yourself a fresh place, to put, inventory up and see if it works. And it's a good time to do it since, you know, you're not losing anything. It's on List Perfectly. So it's very easy just to click the Depop button and it gets posted to Depop, or whatever marketplace you choose. And also I want to pick, along those lines, you know, if you're not taking advantage of the Bonanza integration with eBay, you should be doing that too. Now, just to really explain what that is, that's not through List Perfectly. That's essentially, there's an integration, meaning that there's a connection between eBay and Bonanza. And when you, if you start a Bonanza, a store, I think they call them booths, but anyway, whatever they call them, it automatically gets, listed, from eBay to Bonanza every single time. And if something sells on eBay, it delists it from Bonanza. There's nothing you need to do. It just goes directly, between the two platforms. Okay. So, you should do that. And by the way, you should keep it up too. Now, mind you, when you sell something, this is kind of the disconcerting thing. When you sell something on Bonanza, sometimes you'll get a deposit on PayPal, and you say, "Where the hell did this come from?" and then you kind of have to track it down. That's the only unfortunate thing about Bonanza is that sometimes you find out from PayPal that you made the sale. You don't find out from Bonanza. And so no, if you have an unexplained sale, you know, and if you're monitoring your sales every day, like you should be, it's very easy to track down. So, but you only want to do the free connection with Bonanza. You don't want to actually pay to belong to Bonanza. Now, if you have some different experience with Bonanza, please let me know, because I'm finding that, you know, I usually get one or two sales a month from Bonanza, but during the fourth quarter, I'm hoping to see that rise. Now, I've only done Bonanza for, you know, probably, I don't know, February of this year. So, you know, not even a full year yet. So I don't know what it's like. But take advantage of it. Okay. So, and there's other marketplaces like that too. Now, if you're dealing with heavier items or bigger items, you know, maybe you should be working, Facebook Marketplace and maybe Craigslist even. Okay. And the last thing I do, and you should be doing this anyway, but really, you really need to hit it hard during the holidays is listing. If you list 10 a day, you need to start listing 20 a day. If you're listing 20 a day, you need to start listing 40 a day or whatever. So, and the reason why is because the more listings you have, the more activity in your accounts, and this is all the platforms, you'll see an uptick in sales. So if you scale back because you're afraid to go out shopping, and which is understandable in a pandemic, but and it's certainly exacerbated through the holidays, but you need to get inventory. You need to list more and more and more and more. I would suggest even hiring temporary help to maybe do photographs for you and maybe even list for you on site, so you could show them how to do it and, you know, work with them. And then you do nothing but source. Now I've not done that yet. I have a little bit of an announcement. I'm no longer using a virtual assistant because I'm going to hire somebody locally. I decided, the virtual assistants, group that I use, they're great. You know, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just that, I really have had, I've had it with taking photographs. So I'm going to use this opportunity to give somebody a chance to do something locally here. And then, you know, and if it turns out that it works out great and, you know, I can grow even faster, and then I'll bring the virtual assistants to start working. So I would still suggest you use Hammock, unless you're going to hire somebody locally, then of course you don't need them. So anyway, so take this opportunity to do that. You want to source more, you want to list more. And I think also that, you know, obviously people are looking for Christmas money, finding items on Facebook Marketplace is a really good time. Now, and if you're dealing with clothes, even, you know, people want to clean out the closets, people need the cash. And so it's an opportunity to buy more inventory. Take advantage of it. List, 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 list. Okay. And you will get more sales. Okay. So let me go through some commonly asked questions about what to list during fourth quarter. So the people have a tendency to want new things for gifts. So people are buying gifts for other people. They don't want to give them something used. So there's exceptions to that, obviously, you know, antiques and vintage stuff and stuff like that. But for the most part, you want to see if you can get new inventory. There is a inclination to just go out to find a distributor for something and then buy a bunch of it. And I fell into that. Matter of fact, I have a ton of stuff that I got from distributors, throughout this year that I stopped buying from because it was getting to the point where, you know, you're not going to make the margin. And this is certainly you want the activity as long as it is profitable. So the key here is to make sure that you get enough margins, because you're going to have to drop your price. There's a lot of activity that creates more activity in your store. So you're okay with it as long as you're not losing money for each transaction. So just keep an eye on that. And new items, if you can find them at a thrift store or at a garage sale, obviously they're going to be much lower priced than a distributor. But just getting something where you can get enough margin that even with a little bit of a discounting you're doing, you're still making, even if you're making very little. If you're selling a lot of these items, you know, you're going to generate activity towards some of the other things in your store, because eBay specifically, but probably others too, but eBay specifically will see, okay, you know, Mike is selling, you know, a bunch of items today. Let's start sending more traffic to him so he can get more sales, which then eBay, of course, gets a commission on. So there is something real to that. There's obviously, I can't quantify it, unfortunately. And if you were to talk to them directly, them meaning eBay directly, I doubt they would probably admit to it. But, you know, some days where I see a lot of activity, even low dollar activity, usually ends up being more activity for all my items. So don't shy away from buying from distributors. That being said, you don't want to be caught at the end of the cycle, at the end of the, at the end of the season, with a bunch of items you can't get rid of either. So, because then you're going to have to heavily discount them, because nothing's worse than something you've already you already have no margin. Now all of a sudden it's negative margin. Otherwise you got to hold on to it. You just want to get your money back at that point. Now, that being said, you know, you could always put those on Facebook Marketplace, I guess. And, I've never done that. Generally speaking, I usually come out of Christmas, with, very little of the toy inventory that I buy, because I don't buy a lot of it. I buy enough of it to generate activity in my account, and that will naturally give me more sales on other items. So this time last year, you know, obviously we were not in a pandemic. I didn't have that much as far as toy volume. And my sales in November and December weren't great. This time I do have toy inventory, a lot more toy inventory, and I am selling stuff and making some money off of it. But the reality is I had a banner sales month in November. And I think that's largely due to the fact that I'm getting a lot of activity towards the new items. Now, I know that there's a lot of online sales that people are not wanting to go in stores. But of course that, I think it's part of it. I think that would be true if it was everything I sold was new, but, naturally speaking, I'm naturally getting natural traffic because people are looking at the things and buying things in my store, and then they're going to see other things in my store that get put in front of them. All right. So buy inventory, and that's something that is new inventory that will generate traffic. That's all I'm saying. Don't buy too much though, because you don't want to be caught with it. So you want something with high velocity, high sell-through rates, not something that, and not where there's a ton of people on it, you know, unless you don't mind taking a little bit of a loss on some of it, just to generate the traffic. Okay. So that's the last thing I do as part of Q4. So anyway, hey, listen, you know, send me an email on what you guys do, you know, and if it's something that I can share here, you know, I will. I, you know, well, listen, we're all in this together. Rising tides lift all boats. So if we all have the same information, we all do better. Now, this is not like a bolo. I don't want everybody buying the same thing and then competing against each other, because then the prices go way, way down. And if you've listened to me in the past, you know that that I focus on what I focus on, clothing, because each item is fairly different. Yeah, you can have a white shirt, but you know it's not going to be the exact same brand. It's not going to be the exact same cut. It's not, you know, you get the idea. But if everybody's buying the same SKU or the same UPC or whatever, you know, it's the same. So we don't want to be caught in that. But if it's something that you guys do that I think you could benefit everybody, you know, let me know and I'll definitely broadcast it out there for us. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the show. This is a kind of a whirlwind show, so sorry for that. You know, obviously I'm doing this at the last minute because of the holiday, but I hope this is helpful. A few announcements though. One is I am moving my business, and I'm moving it from Massachusetts to Florida, and I'm doing that for a variety of reasons. You know, nothing really major, other than, you know, obviously taxation is much less in Florida than it is in Massachusetts, but also I'm buying a house there. So the reason also is that I'll have a warehouse on property. So, and the reason why I'm doing that, of course, is that it's going to, one, reduce my costs because it's mixed with my mortgage. And number two is that, you know, there are times that, I don't want to commute. so it's going to be, really, really nice to be able to just pop in to the warehouse, from my property. So that's number one. Number two, of course, is that, I kind of talked about it earlier, is that I'm hiring somebody locally to do my photographs and my listing. So I'm no longer using the virtual assistant. That's probably going to change, once I get into a kind of a rhythm, with the person locally. I just don't, just too many moving parts to do both right now, but, you know, essentially, I'm hiring locally. And I think that that's something that, we'll talk about in the next couple of months as I see how it works out. That's number two. Number three, I am building a management software for the reselling business. So if you have been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I'm a programmer. Actually, I worked in tech for many years. I was really in management, but I was a programmer before that. And so I'm building a reseller management platform, and that's going to be, I'll give you more details about that when that comes out. Obviously I'll probably make it available for sale as well. So, you know, I'm announcing this for a reason, but, you know, it's, somewhat like List Perfectly, not completely like List Perfectly. But we're going to be doing that. And that's, that'll be coming out probably sometime mid next year. And then the last thing is if you want to set up a website for yourself, please contact me and I'll help you do that. I mean, I'll charge you for it, but we'll keep it at a minimum. So I'm not trying to make a ton of money off this. I'm just, but it's something that I think that really works. And so, I'll be glad to show you how to do that. Just, you know, contact me, reach out and I'll set you up. And matter of fact, I could probably get you a good deal on hosting too, if you want to do that. So anyway, so those are the announcements I have for today. Thank you very much for listening. And, we are going to get back onto normal schedule next week. So subscribe to the podcast. Go to YouTube and listen to it there if you want to. And I'm glad that we're starting to see some traction on those platforms. Thank you very much, and we'll see you real soon.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.